As we turn our attention to God's Word this morning, before we get to our scripture verse, if you've got your sermon notes, we've got a new verse of the month, and it is Colossians 3:17. We were working on that in a Sunday school class with the kids, and I just thought, what a powerful verse, and the Lord has kind of laid it on my heart. And so Colossians 3:17, let's say it together. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I challenge you, I invite you, take God's word and plant these seeds in your heart, in your mind, and receive them gladly, because I've never met anyone who has committed themselves to the memorization of Scripture and taking these that task seriously, who regretted it, who thought it was a waste of time. It in turn instead was a blessing to each of us. And so, all right, our scripture reading this morning, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be taking a look at chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of God for the people of God. Are you ready for something different? This is the question that Jesus asks us in this passage, and really this whole series of sermons that he gives. It's actually all one sermon, but of teachings that he gives. And he wants us to know, are we ready for something different? You see, that is because every person is invited to become in Jesus. What we're invited to become is entirely different than anything the world has to offer, than anything that any religion has to offer, and anything that you can pursue on your own. You see, what Jesus brings to the table is a whole new way of life, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of seeking. You know, when I was in seminary, I was a young man at 23 years of age, and at one point I had a choice to make about what I was going to do with the week off that I had. And I had some money in the bank, and I had a choice of what to do with that too. You see, I had racked up a credit card bill because, you know, you kind of make unwise decisions when you're in college, and sometimes you make them well after college, but you make an unwise decision, and you have that credit card bill, and then my friends called me up and they said, do you want to go on a trip with us? We are going to hit up every amusement park within driving distance. And so my choice was simple: pay off my credit card or go have a whole lot of fun. And you can guess what I did at 23 years of old. I went to all those amusement parks. We started at Kentucky Kingdom. Then we made our way to Kings Island. Then we made our way to Cedar Point. If there was a roller coaster, I rode it. I didn't care how high it went. I didn't care how fast it went. I was able to ride every single one of them and have this incredibly beautiful experience. And then I got back and I looked at the credit card bill, and it was still the same. And there are consequences to chasing after those worldly pleasures. And that's because I was at a job at seminary that provided enough to pay for my basic bills, to provide food, and to provide shelter and water. And that's about it. And so you want to know how long it took me to pay off that credit card bill? Another 2 years for a trip. I traded in 2 years of labor and 2 years of work and 2 years of headache and 2 years of anxiety. And that's, I share that with you because here in this passage, we have a choice to make. You know, Jesus reveals here that you have a choice to make, and that choice is about what the pursuits of your life will be. Choice number one, are your pursuits driven by the physical? Are your pursuits driven by and taking place in the physical realm? Is everything you do, all your time, all your energy, all your passion, all your efforts, all rooted in things that will not last? The pursuit of what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear, what kind of roof are you going to have over your head? What kind of job are you going to have? Are your pursuits driven by the physical, or are your pursuits going to be driven by the spiritual? Are you going to pursue chasing after food and drink and clothing, or are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and trust that all those other things will be taken care of? Because, right, we have to have food. We have to have water. I think we'd all agree we look better in clothes, right? We have. It's not like Jesus is saying, don't eat, don't drink, and don't put on any clothes. That's not what Jesus is saying, is he? No, he's saying, where's your energy? Where's your focus? Where are your pursuits? What are you seeking? And there's a reason why this choice is hard. Because to give one priority over the other means the other often gets quieted and takes a back seat. You see, if you focus solely in the physical realm, which Jesus clearly shows us here and tells us is folly, then there's going to be consequences to it. We're going to get into what those consequences are. But what if you choose to focus on the spiritual? And what if it truly becomes the most important, rather than it, let's say he truly becomes the most important thing, person in your life, and you stick it out? I'll tell you one thing that'll happen. You're going to stand out from the rest of the world. Jesus says the pagans chase after the physical. They limit their pursuits to the physical realm. They prioritize their pursuits in the physical realm. What I'm asking you to do is to prioritize the spiritual. You know, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Sometimes our translations aren't the best. It's really sometimes, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your soul. Do not worry. You're not going to find the satisfaction of your soul chasing after what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Because here's why. You'll never have enough. Or what you'll have could easily be taken away and you'll be walking around in fear. And you'll be worried about it. There are consequences to it. But I want to make you a promise this morning. If you would but seek first the kingdom of God, you will not regret it. Do you hear that this morning? If you would seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of Christ clothing you, you will not regret it. And that's because when your pursuits are rooted in the world, you will always be burdened by their temporary nature. When your pursuits are rooted in the world, you will always be burdened by their temporary nature. They are here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus said as much in the preceding verses. You know where we picked up at verse 25? Well, really, if you rewind a little bit and you go back to where you store up treasures, he said this: don't collect for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, what you have today, you could lose it when it's in the physical. Hear that this morning. I have money in my bank account. I could go home and all of it could be stolen by somebody online. Now, they might have some remedies, but I might not get it all back. The stock market could plunge on Monday morning, and all of a sudden, all of your retirements and investments could vanish. The question is, will you be okay if that happens? Will you be okay if it's just you and Jesus? Because that's what's going to last. That's a relationship that's going to last for all eternity. Not what I have in my account, not what kind of clothes I'm wearing, not what kind of food I'm eating. But where do I stand with Jesus Christ? That's what will last. You see, there are real consequences we find in these verses, that there are real consequences for a life that has made the choice to prioritize pursuits and needs that will not last. In other words, when you choose to pursue the physical, when you choose to pursue the things of the world, the first consequence is that you are troubled by an anxious heart. Intrinsically, you can't help but be worried. That's why he says, therefore, remember, he just got done saying, don't store up treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but instead store them up in heaven, where moth and rust don't destroy, and where thieves cannot break in and steal. He says, in light of that, if you pick this world, if you pick to focus on those pursuits and those treasures, here's what's going to happen. You are going to be anxious all the time. You can't help it. You're going to be worried. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. He goes on to say, do not worry about it. Do not be anxious about it. Do not be concerned about it. Why? Because he knows if you pursue those things first, if they are priority, then intrinsically your heart is going to be filled with anxiety because you will always worry about losing what you have or not having enough. And then what does that do to you? That leads you to take actions or to act out of jealousy and greed rather than wisdom. Why do I say that? Because if you're constantly in a state of worry about whether you have enough, about how it could be taken away from you, then what do? When you see somebody who has more, you get jealous. And what do? If you see an opportunity to gain more, you take it and you store it up in your little storehouse instead of asking the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to do this, use this? How do you want me to be a blessing with what we have? And so you continue to gather, but you never have enough. And things like money and status and prestige, they become your taskmasters. And it leads you to a worrisome, anxiety-filled heart. It leads you to take actions in the extrinsic realm that are not rooted in love and peace and joy of Jesus Christ. All because your heart is troubled with anxiety, you begin to act out of jealousy and greed. And then you look to world systems. You look to world systems for a solution. Isn't that the conversation we're having in our country? How can the world fix health care? How can the world fix my paycheck? How can the world, and we're having this debate about capitalism versus socialism, like they can solve anything. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Now that doesn't mean, and don't hear me say, that if you just spend all your time with Jesus and meditate and pray, that other people will come bring you food and bring you water and things like that. I'm not advocating that. Don't hear me say that. Jesus isn't advocating that. He's saying when your pursuits are rooted in Him, when that becomes your priority, yes, He knows you need those things. Yes, he'll provide you with a job to pay for those things, to take care of those things. He'll give you opportunities to make differences at your work as you make money to have those things. But when those things are your pursuits, your soul becomes undernourished. You know, sometimes they used to have this show that came on television called Cribs. And I might be dating myself, and they would go around and show the homes of famous people. And they would take a video camera crew, and they would show all their cars, they would show their house, they would show their pool. And I thought to myself, I don't know if I would ever want to live in a house like that. Could you imagine the concern and the worry? How many people in your life might come and try and cling to you just to see what they could get out of you, and all the burdens and trouble that brings along with it. And then, you know, I don't know about you, but when I stand before Jesus, I don't want, and He says, what did you do with what I gave you? I don't want to say, well, I bought me a nice house, a nice car, a nice boat, a nice jet, and I didn't do anything for anybody else, but I sure had a good time. I mean, I don't want to give that answer. But you know what those people had in common? All the people that showed the Cribs? Most of them couldn't get enough. Half of them ended up bankrupt. Half of them ended up losing that house. Why? Because their pursuits were rooted in things that don't last. And they ended up in this endless cycle of despair. I was watching a video the other night of millionaires who have gone bankrupt. And I thought, wow. Just wow. I'd like to think that if I was a millionaire, I wouldn't do that, but who knows? but the point is, in those pursuits, you never have enough, and what you have, you can lose it in an instant. And Jesus said, that's no kind of life. That leads you to anxiety. That leads you to worry. So what's His alternative? To seek first the kingdom, because He knows that when your pursuits are rooted in heaven, you will always be blessed by their permanent nature. You will always be blessed by their permanent nature if your pursuits are rooted in the heavenlies. If that is the desire of your heart. Jesus said in the preceding verses, remember, don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth, but store up treasures where? In heaven. Where moth and rust will not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal them away. You see, He is telling us that yes, you have these worldly needs, but they don't have to be what your life is all about. And if you try and fulfill the longings of your heart through having enough stuff, through having a big enough house, through the pursuits that are limited to this world, by having enough status, that all those things will leave you malnourished and empty. But instead, if you would seek first the kingdom of God and your pursuits are focused and rooted in heaven, then all of a sudden you will experience life. Your soul will be nourished, your soul will be fulfilled, your cup will runneth over, and you will begin to be a blessing to all of those around you. You see, seeking the kingdom of God is a lifelong endeavor that must be pursued each day if we are to enjoy its fruits. And so I want to leave with you this morning a few things that can help you get started. And I could go into this in a lot more detail, but the first thing that if you truly want to pursue the kingdom of God, the first thing you need to do is If you truly want to seek the kingdom of God, the first thing you need to discover is how your poorness leads to Christ. How your poorness leads to Christ, not your richness. What do I mean by that? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What is he talking about? He's talking about people who have come to the end of themselves, who have tried to earn God's love, who have tried to find God's favor, and have discovered that no matter how hard they work, no matter how hard they try to be right before God, that they need a Savior. You want to seek first the kingdom of God? It begins there. Because otherwise, if you try and live your life like your relationship with God is dependent upon what you do, and you walk around with a set of scales, if I do a little bit more good than I did bad, then God will love me. You will never get to the place that Jesus is inviting you to go. It's in your poorness. It's when you discover that, hey, I've tried to seek the kingdom of God. I've tried to know God more on my own. And it's only when you discover that the Holy Spirit is the one who helps me to know God. It's the Savior who allows me to go to Him. And without their work, I would be empty. Discover how your poorness leads to Christ. Secondly, develop a Christ-centered schedule. I want to ask you something this morning. What does your schedule say about your pursuits? Time is the most valuable thing you have. Not your money. Not your assets. Time. What does your schedule say about what you're seeking? Are your pursuits rooted in heaven, which will last and be permanent? Or are they rooted in the world, which will be here today and gone tomorrow and is by its very nature temporary? And thirdly, declare Jesus Christ as your King. Who is your King? You can't seek first the kingdom of God without Jesus Christ being your King. Without coming to the realization that without Him, you can't find your way to the Father. Without Him being the one who rules and the one who guides every decision you make. You want to seek first the kingdom of God? You have to stand under Christ's authority. You have to live under Christ's authority. You have to humble yourself under Christ's authority. So what will you do this morning? Are your pursuits trivial? Or do your pursuits matter? A.W. Tozer once said that if you listen to what someone talks about, you will see what matters to them. You will hear what matters to them. The person whose pursuits are rooted in God, they can't help but talk about Him. What about you? What are you declaring with your words? What are you declaring by your actions? What are you declaring to your children? To your grandchildren, to your employees, to your co-workers, to your classmates, what are you declaring about what matters to you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'll take care of all that other stuff. That doesn't mean he's not saying, and I'll make you rich. That's not my translation. He says, I'll take care of the physical. You look to me for the spiritual. I'll take care of the physical. Why don't you humble yourself and start working on what's going on inside and let the Holy Spirit get to work on what's going on in your soul rather than spending all your time nourishing the flesh? That's the decision. So what will you decide? Let us pray. Almighty God, it is easy for us, without even realizing it, to get caught up in trivial pursuits, to find ourselves focusing so much of our time, our energy, and our efforts into fulfilling the needs of the physical realm rather than the spiritual realm, to work on extrinsic things rather than what's going on intrinsically within us. Lord, we pray that you would help us. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God. Help us to see the fruitfulness of that. Help us to discover the life that comes from a person who is devoted to living with Christ as King, with a schedule that's centered around him, and with the knowledge that without Christ, they are poor. Lord, we pray that you would help us to discover that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes up to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning, as you reflect upon how you spend your time and what your schedule looks like and what you're pursuing. If you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, asking you to come and you can pray at your seats. You can come down here and pray at the altar. But take that first step and take that first act of faith and say, you know what? I'm tired of pursuing things that don't last. I want to start doing just like Jesus said. I want my pursuits. I want my treasures. I want my life to be focused on that which is above and not that which is below. Come as the Holy Spirit leads you.